It was a really difficult time because everything that I had identified my relationship with Jesus in, it was invalidated. And so then I basically from that moment on recreated a relationship with only Jesus.
Yeah.
And it really has very little anymore to do with the actual building of a church.
Hi friends, you've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Karina Faith Diaries. Today, I'm excited to introduce our guest, Julie Earlywine. She has such a great story, guys, from the time that she was born into different denominations. And she's sharing some vulnerable moments, some church hurt moments that led her to where she's at right now. Her husband is a prominent figure here in our community, and he has a ministry called the Blackbird Ministry. And she helps with him. She also works as a development mental therapist for First Steps of Indiana. She is a mother for three boys, and she's been married for almost 24 years. She's sharing a lot of her journey with us today, and I feel like a lot of us can relate to some of the walk that she's been through. So I hope you enjoy this. You guys, don't forget to leave us thumbs up, comments, a review. If you're watching or listening to this in your favorite platform, that means so much to us. And I just wanted to remind you, if this helps you in any sort of way, please let us know. Thank you so much. And let's do this. All right, guys. So we have Julie Earlywine with us in the house today. And we're going to talk a lot about kids, life, ministry, and all of the above. So I'm very excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
I'm Julie. I am a wife to Darren, who has been in ministry for our whole marriage. I'm a mom to three boys, Cole, who is 20, Ty, who's 18, senior this year in high school, our oldest is in college, and then 14-year-old Knox.
Okay. Yeah. We were talking here behind the scenes, and we have a lot of similarities in kids' ages. She did take a little gap on the third, which was smart. Yes. So
gave myself a breather there for a
minute.
Yes.
And you're not going to be a total like empty nester for a little while.
That's true. He's not real excited about being the empty nest brother, like the only one next year. So he's sad that he has those 4 years, just him, but maybe we'll spoil him. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I know. Right. That's lovely. All my kids wanted to be the only child because they all want the attention for them.
It's true, yeah, right?
That's cool.
So he'll enjoy that.
So who was Julie growing up? Did you grow up here in Indy? Where are you from? Your family?
I grew up actually in North Carolina, in Charlotte, in a small town right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, called Harrisburg. My parents are still there. My brother, my sister-in-law, my nephews, all my family are still there.
Okay.
I was there all the way up until college and went to actually a small Christian school in South Carolina, and then actually worked there for a year after I graduated. Then ended up, on a long story short, I ended up in Indianapolis, and I never left, thinking I would come to Indy for a year and work for a year, kind of like recalibrate my life. And then the next thing I knew, here I still am 25 years later. I actually moved here in 2000. So in August, it'll be 25 years I've lived in Indianapolis.
So you came here for a job opportunity?
I did. At the time, the denomination that I had grown up in, I came here and took a position at one of their headquarter offices just to like recalibrate my life, work for a year. I was actually studied education to be a teacher and just came up here. And then I was volunteering at a youth group and working through this ministry organization. And there was Darren, and we met, and we became actually best friends. And then...
Was he the reason why you stayed?
Yeah, because it was a very fast thing. I had actually been engaged prior, and the engagement ended. And I had to kind of like recalibrate my life quickly. And so a job opened up in Indianapolis, and I took that job at the same time. The job I originally called the ministry organization about, they filled it 2 weeks prior, and one of the people they filled it with was Darren.
Wow.
So Darren and I... both moved here in August of that year. I thought, I'm just going to go. I'm going to try something new. I'd never really lived far from home. I had lived like a couple hours college, but not like really away. So I was like, I'll just recalibrate my life. This wasn't what I was expecting for myself. I moved here and he got a job the same time, same month, moved into the same apartment complex, same time, same month, started volunteering at the same youth group, same time, same month. But the job I originally called about, I ended up getting a different one, had just been filled by him, mm-hmm. you know, not knowing.
And where is he from?
He grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, okay. actually. His family originally was from Illinois. He grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. His parents are were in ministry mm-hmm. During his childhood years. So he grew up in Phoenix, and then he went to Indiana Wesleyan, which is up in Marion.
Yeah,
here.
Okay.
And so that is kind of how he ended up down here. Some things in his life actually went a little sideways, like some plans he thought God had for him mm-hmm. and some plans I thought God had for me. They went sideways, and then we both ended up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was his plan all along.
I think so. Just, yeah.
Yes. No, I find it interesting that you had a breakup and then you go super far, and that was his plan.
Yes. And we've never, if you would have ever told the two of us, we would have lived the entire time in Indiana. I mean, I grew up in North Carolina, uh-huh. He grew up in Arizona. If you said you'll stay in Indiana, we would have thought never in a million. He definitely did not want to stay in Indiana. I'm sure he will talk to God about that someday, but we have. Yeah. And it's been awesome. I would not have chosen to raise my family in a different place. It was definitely where we were supposed to be.
I completely agree with you. I come from Brazil, which is one of the largest cities in the world.
Right.
And I'm like, people, when my parents come to visit, they're like, what are you going to do in Indiana? And they're like, oh, my daughter lives there. Why? But it's funny because it's just, I love here now. Like, I feel like it's a safe place. It's mm-hmm. a place that it's, like you said, great to raise kids. And I look forward to coming home. I love traveling.
Yes.
But I love Indianapolis a lot. So you meet...
Yeah.
How did that go? Like, you guys decided to get married right away?
Kind of, yes. So it's actually a super cool story, honestly. So I had been engaged, and that ended kind of abruptly. Actually, it was only like 5 weeks before the wedding. And so I had a lot of recalibrating. My mom had to send uninvites, which now I laugh about it because it really was like at the time when you're like 21 and this is happening.
That is devastating.
Like, it's devastating. You're like traumatized. You're like, what am I going to do? And then I just sort of... picked the pieces up of what I knew at the time.
Uh-huh.
That's a big part of my story, is that what I've realized through our ministry journey is that my ministry perspective was really small at that mm-hmm. point. So I only saw one avenue of opportunity of ministry at that time, and I took it. And I moved here because that fell apart. And so, but the cool story is when I was going through all of that time after it had happened,
mm-hmm.
I was doing a lot of praying and I was doing a lot of journaling. I had more space in my life for journaling at that time.
I love journaling.
And I do love it. And I think as my kids are getting older, I'm finding more space mm-hmm. again for it. But like when they were little, I would start to write and like fall asleep.
Oh, it should be easy.
Right. So now I'm coming back to that thing that I've always enjoyed. But I was journaling and literally was in prayer. And God literally said to me, you're going to meet your husband in 6 months. And I literally said in the journal, I do not want to meet my husband in 6 months. Because I am a heartbroken 20-something-year-old, don't know anything, have no perspective, don't think that it'll all work out. At that moment, you think, this isn't going to really work out. You know, this isn't going to be what God has for me. Something else. Are you kidding? I'm devastated.
Yeah.
And so I literally was like, felt like God said, I wrote it, you're going to meet your husband in 6 months. And I was like, no, I'm not, in the journal. So all that happens. I write this journal, going about my way. At the very last minute when it happened, I ended up going on a 10-day mission trip. I came home. I got offered the job to come here mm-hmm. to Indianapolis. And I moved here on August the 4th of 2000, the same time Darren moved. And we just became really fast friends, honestly. We had actually known each other prior on a more casual setting and didn't like each other.
Wow.
Neither of us liked each other. He thought I was bossy and overbearing, which I can be those things. I am healthy enough now to identify those. And I just thought he was a wannabe rock star. He was in this band and he thought he was so cool. I just thought he was just like a weirdo, and he mm-hmm. thought that I was bossy. And so when we first moved here, we were both like, ooh, mm-hmm. Really? We're going to be around each other? Well, it was interesting. What happened is, I think because we had that perspective, we just became really good friends mm-hmm. and we connected on just really good friend things. But you could sense that there was a chemistry, you know, but we were, I think just, I was coming off such heartbreak. I wasn't interested in anything. So just throughout the time of being friends, one day we were driving in the car, actually taking the exit off of 465 onto Allisonville. I can remember this. We're in my car. He was driving 465 to Allisonville, and he said something to me like, you know, one of these days I'm going to move on, and I'll meet somebody, and you'll be disappointed, or one of these days you're going to move on and you're going to meet somebody and I think I'm going to be disappointed. And I was like, I don't really know what to do with this right now.
Like, why? Is this your way of saying that you're interested?
So I left that, right. So I left that week and actually went with one of my girlfriends to visit, like her family, went to visit one of my girlfriends out in Kansas and came back. And the night I got back, Darren asked me on a date. And at that point, I'd been through so much. I wasn't really sure I wanted a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I had this like long list of like, in my back of my mind of like, he has to do this, 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 right? So he has to do all these things. If he does all these things, then maybe I could consider it. Well, he did all the things that night and it was really fun. And it was like liking somebody that's like your best friend. And it really had not really been like that ever before. So I came home that night and I was all excited and I laid down in bed and I was like thinking about it. And all of a sudden my journal like popped in my brain.
Wow.
And I was like, so I went and I dug through this like box of journals that I'd brought with me to Indy and I pulled it out and that was in May. The date was in November and it was 6 months to the day that I had written that in the journal.
Oh my gosh, so, that is so special.
Right, it is very special.
Oh, that makes me
so 6 months to the day, yeah. And I literally was like, close the book. I was like, no. Like, I'm not ready for this. You know, our normal, like, controlling self, being controlling. I was like, no way. Like, I'm not doing that. It's like, you know, kind of panicked. And definitely wasn't going to tell him because that would freak any guy out. But yeah, that's our story. That was in November. We got engaged in March and we got married August 4th of 2001. So I moved to Indy in August 4th of 2000 and we got married August 4th of 2001. And we've been married. It'll be 24 years.
Okay, that is fascinating that you had that kind of closeness and that relationship with God, that he told you something at that young age after such a heartbreaking, devastating time, you know, of like a breakup and the embarrassment of having to send an invite or whatever, you know, like you could have just been like, God, I want nothing to do with you, but you still had that closeness. So did you grow up a Christian? As was your home? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you had a relationship with Jesus from early on?
Yes, early on. I have amazing parents. My mom and dad both love the Lord. I've been very blessed, you know, I've been very blessed to have a family of faith. My upbringing was surrounded, the denomination that we were raised in was surrounded by women. I was surrounded by women and men of faith my whole life. Like so many beautiful examples of godliness and loving spirits. The church we grew up in, we went to the same church my entire life.
What is the denomination?
We were part of the Wesleyan Church at the time.
Okay, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
is
it's just a smaller denomination. It's not always that known.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were a part of that. But my home, little home church was just so special. The lead pastor and his wife were massively influential in my life. Mm-hmm. Just really godly, awesome, loving people. My mom and dad still go to their same church.
Really?
That they went to. Yeah.
That's one thing that I miss about smaller churches is that, you know, like the community is just so nice.
Yes.
And
they feel, they still feel like, that was the denomination. The denomination was the church. The church was a part of the denomination, but really what I loved was the actual, like, the people within that church. Like, my heart is very thankful for that community of 175 people.
Yeah.
And they all still, like, if I go home and I see any of them, it's they like know. Seeing family.
Aww.
Yeah. So I was very, very blessed by that. I have one brother and so it was just us.
Knowing what that feels like and what that is, it's great.
Yes.
So then what made you guys decide? Did you always know, you and your husband, that you wanted to be in ministry, or how did that come about?
Darren felt called to ministry when he was in high school. Mm-hmm. So he always knew that he wanted to be in ministry. I don't really know that I remember a specific time being like, oh, you're going to end up marrying a pastor. I mean, I went to a really small Christian college. Mm-hmm. And sometimes back then it kind of felt like I had a really narrow view of the world. I had a great church, a great home church. It was beautiful and the people in it were beautiful. But my mindset of Christianity and faith and grace and reaching people was a very small filter. Mm-hmm. So I almost thought I had to do that not even necessarily was I called to do that. Mm. Now, I definitely was called to do that. Now I know more because I do think I really was purely called. But I think a lot of my initial thoughts on that was like, well, that's just what you do. If you find a God that's a Christian, he's in ministry, you just go to ministry. You just do it.
Yeah.
But no, Darren felt a very strong call to ministry, but he's always been a little on the edge. Never really fit into the traditional mold of the church that we grew up in. And I think I always had a natural edge, but I kind of hid it or felt bad about it, that I felt like I didn't view everything the same way that the denomination I was brought up in didn't view it exactly the same. Not that I think it's wrong for a lot of people, because I do want to state that clearly this morning. Like, it's just different. It was different for me. So anyway, yes, he felt called to ministry. I felt called to ministry. The story of our journey of ministry. We planted a church together. We worked at a church here locally, then we ended up planning a church, and then some things changed, and the concept of ministry and the organization we'd always been a part of took a pretty quick shift. So, but yeah, we both felt called. Definitely, as we've gone on in our marriage, we've seen these moments where we go back and God's called us to do something new, and then we look back, like even into our like college years, where God told us something, the exact same thing in college that we didn't know until we've been married for 10 years, and it shaped where we are today in our ministry.
Okay. So then you guys got married and then you went into planting churches?
Yes.
Yep.
So we worked for a local church here, and then my husband started a young adult ministry. And then out of that young adult ministry, out of that church, we planted a church.
Okay.
And it was a great time in our life. Like, we learned a lot. That's right when we started having kids. Mm-hmm. Church planting is not for the faint of heart. You know, you set up every week, you tear down every week, you do it all. And that was the church we stayed at until we kind of had like a shift in our ministry story.
I know that there's a little story of a church hurt type of thing. Is that when that happened?
Yes, it happened.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. We at that point in time had two of our kids and we were thinking to ourselves, okay, this is our story. This is our family. Like, what do we want? What do we want for them? You know, like this, like the unique part about denominations is that they ultimately all love the Lord and they all want to serve them, serve him. And they all have a path of the way they think it's best for you to get there. Mm-hmm. And I fully respect that. There isn't a church in town that I don't respect that this is the way you think is the best way to get to Jesus. And do you know what? It's absolutely the best way for somebody to get to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But for us, we were raising our family, and we started to feel like we didn't fully align with all the standards of the church we had grown up in. We just didn't feel like our heartbeat for ministry would align with the way they aligned. Mm. So we were already beginning to step out of that story, out of that denomination, and thinking it was time to move on. But we really didn't know what that looked like. We were kind of walking into like no man's land. Mm. The kids were little. I didn't have the third one yet. And we actually had a very marking change. We were at a concert. This is so vulnerable. And I've really never said this out loud, I've said it out loud, but never like out loud like this. But we did something that probably in line with, I do not believe that it is in line with what Jesus calls you to do. And I will not stand against that, but it wasn't what the church stood for. But my husband was seen drinking a beer at a concert, the denomination doesn't align with that at the time. And someone in the crowd saw us, that to this day we don't know who that was, and went and told someone, and he was removed from the pulpit immediately. And so that was, and I say it with such caution because I don't hold
grudge.
No, that was who they were. And that is the way they align themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is okay. Yeah. Like, it's okay that that's how they align themselves. And we had already sensed God aligning us differently. Mm-hmm. And that was not their way. And so we didn't honor that way in that moment. And someone decided that it was their job to tell someone that we weren't aligning it correctly.
Wow.
And to be honest, at the time, it was devastating. I think ultimately mostly devastating to me. And what had happened is I had put my whole faith identity actually
in that denomination,
in the church, in the buildings, in that stuff. And we will tell you every day for the rest of our lives that night in that concert was the best thing that ever happened to us.
I bet.
And what God has been able to do, like, I would have never dreamed that we would be who we are, to see our kids be who they are. Mm-hmm. And so I know that, like, it was terrible. And mm-hmm. I felt like I let everyone down. I felt like I have this beautiful heritage of people, and we let them down. Mm-hmm. So that part of it was so difficult, because all these men and women I adore, like, we let them down. Like, we failed. But at the same time, it also felt so right, because we knew we were supposed to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when people will ask us, so what do you think about this church? Because we get that all the time. When you're in ministry, they say, what do you think about this church? What do you think about that church? And what I will always say, as long as I live on this earth and I'm in ministry, or I'm just a regular person or whatever I'm doing, every church has something for someone.
Yeah.
But every church is not for everyone. And that doesn't mean, like, you should be like a pew hopper or whatever they call, but, like, everybody needs something different. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we learned through this. And it was a really difficult time, because everything that I had identified my relationship with Jesus in, mm-hmm. it was invalidated. Mm-hmm. And so then I basically from that moment on recreated a relationship with only Jesus.
Yeah.
And it really has very little anymore to do with the actual building of a church.
I love this. And I just want to let this sink in for a minute, because I think a lot of people put pastors, like, you can see celebrity pastors everywhere, up to such standards. They're humans. Yes. They're imperfect. Yes. They are filled with sin too, just like all of us.
Yes.
And I think that that's a wonderful way of putting it, that when you do have a relationship with Jesus, he will guide you. And I agree with you on church too. I feel like, you know, I love our church, but, and not the building or whatever, like the what brought mm-hmm. to me in my life and how I established a relationship. However, it's not perfect. And I feel a stir elsewhere currently, actually. This is very vulnerable of me to say that too. But I think that there's places for seasons in our lives. Mm-hmm. And the specific place that I go to was wonderful, wonderful. I needed that in mm-hmm. that moment. It did so much for me. It taught me about mm-hmm. Jesus. It taught me to have a relationship with Jesus, which I'll be forever grateful to that. But there are times that I'm like, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us that I'm like, and I was, you know, I'm still fighting it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it. But then you mm-hmm. see things that I'm like, you know, maybe it's time for a change. And an example of this is when I was brought up as a Catholic, and, mm-hmm. you know, I have nothing against the church, but they do have some rules that I was just like, you know, in order for you to take communion, you have to confess to a priest. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started being like, but the priest is a human person. Like, mm-hmm. I can do that. The Bible tells me that I can confess to Jesus directly. Mm-hmm. It does not mention the saints. So I started questioning all of those things in my heart and in my mind. And that's what that is what led me to go to a non-denominational church. So long story short, I love that you're bringing this up, because it's just so, I feel like a lot of people struggle with that, you know, feeling like they have to stay at a certain place mm-hmm. because they need to be loyal to the church. They don't have to be loyal to, you have to be loyal to Jesus, right? And like, if anything.
Yes.
And that relationship, he will guide you.
Yes, he will guide you, because the place we ended up next was so beautiful. Oh. Like, when I think about it, mm-hmm. it was the most healing years ever. The pastor was sitting down with us at a lunch at the time, and he said, just talking to Darren, Garrett, we're all getting ready to start the hiring process. And he looked at me and he said, what do you want to do? What part do you want to play? What role do you want? And I went, I don't want anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want a role right now. I can't do it. And he said, you are free. There's no role for you here until you're ready. And for the longest time, I stood at the back, and some of my very best friends now came out of that church, and they joke and laugh about seeing me push the double stroller into the back corner. I stood in the very back. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't reach out to anybody. Like, one of my very best friends, Abby Bowman, was a served communion, and she said, I remember seeing you, knowing who you were, and you just stood off in the corner. You didn't have anything. I didn't for a good long time. And then over time, I began to see people different, Christians different. And I felt and received real deep grace for the first time in my life in that season when we were there. Wow. And Darren received real deep grace. And they just surrounded us with some of the best humans in a season that we needed. Like, I think back on that with 100% fondness. I have no, like, when I think about that season in ministry there at East 91st, I have no bad. I only have beauty and positivity. And I'm like, that was God. He was absolutely. Like, I will never show up void. I will show you that I am still faithful. Even when you think you've lost your whole community, I will give you an entire new one. And he did. We lost an entire community. We lost an entire community. And then he gave us this one that was like more than we could have ever asked for. And out of that is how Darren turned into the ministry that we now do. And it's not local church ministry specific anymore. And it just all is a beautifully written story. And I'm actually really thankful. I'm really, really thankful for it.
That is so great. It's, again, like the enemy will throw on this, you know, his arrows, and God will turn everything into good. We actually I just finished listening to Emily's story, like our podcast from last week, and she was actually saved. Like, somebody told on her about a theft that she didn't know she committed because she was under the influence. And she was like, I'm so grateful for that person. But at that moment, it's very hard. It's very hard to navigate all of this. Yeah. And what you said, it's true. It's like, it was not just the loss of a job. It was the loss of a whole community.
Yes.
That is really powerful. Yeah. It's like, how do you stand up? And I don't blame you for being on the back scenes, because you're like behind the scenes. You're like, I want nothing to do with this, because I bet you were so scared.
Yeah, of this it was happening. Very, and you don't, you lose, like, I had all of my trust in that, and I lost all of my trust in that. So I've had to work through lots of counseling and lots of other things to, like, regain my trust in people and friends. And it just, it did so many things. But now I'm like, I'm 15 years later. I'm like, okay, wait, maybe more than that now. About 15 years. No, it's been longer than that since that actually happens, because I was probably almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. But, like, I look back and I'm like, wow, like, I never thought I would sit here and say this the way I'm saying it now, you know, at the time.
That's
but
great.
God was faithful, because he is faithful, because at the end of the day, you need to love Jesus and you need to love people. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much...
Like, he loves it. Like, he loves people, right?
Yes. That's like where I am. Like, people are like, what's your denomination? And I'm like, I love Jesus and I love people.
Yes.
That's my answer.
That is great. Like, that's who I am. That.
Like, I don't identify to anything. Like, I don't to one specific thing. Like, if you
that's
love...
That's all man-made, too, right?
You love, at the end of the day. If you love Jesus and you love people, I feel like we're going to do okay. That's how I feel.
I agree.
Like.
So then you guys had this safety net, great season. And then how did this ministry came to life?
Okay, well, honestly, I have to give so much credit to Darren, because Darren's a huge visionary. I can literally stay and, like, repeat. Like, I am a very...
Creature of habits.
Yes, and I'm very task-oriented. Like, you give me something to do, like, I'll knock it all out. Like, I'm very detail-oriented. I'm very structured. And Darren is, like, dreamer, go-getter. Like, we're always changing. Like, in the first few years of marriage, I literally was like... Seriously, like, if you talk to another church about possibly going there, I'm going to, like, lose my mind. Like, I have to. Because I grew up, I lived in, like, two houses my whole life. So, like, I had a very consistent, normal, repetitive life. But anyway, when he was at East 91st Street, we were so much growth and so much learning. And he was just given just, like, a really cool platform. Darren has always been on the edge of, like, a typical pastor. Like, he's just... It doesn't fit the mold. And I'm sure people in this town have always thought that guy does not fit the pastor mold. He's an incredible communicator. I mean, he's actually so incredible when he communicates the word of God. But he started having just, like, this super passion to, like, go out in the spaces and places of the normal world and preach the gospel. And it started by wanting to go to bars. He wanted to start church in bars. So we were at the time aligned with this other nonprofit ministry that had been doing the coolest ministry, like, actually all over the world at the time. And GTM was the name of the ministry at the time. They're no longer together. But they kind of coached us up on how to like launch a nonprofit. And Darren resigned from East 91st Street and believed in us. Like they actually helped launch us out. Mm-hmm. And we started a nonprofit where Darren started literally leading church in bars. So what happened was he would do the first part of the music would always be worship style music in a bar. And then he would do a 10 to 15 minute thought for the night. That was a faith-based sermon. And then he would open it up for question and answers that would come through on a text. And then after that, it would turn into a party with a purpose. So then it would be regular music and people would stay and hang out and interact. And so that is where we started at the time. And we did that for, don't ask me how many years, I need him here in my ear telling me I did that for this many years. But we did that. And then it just, it started changing. He started actually then doing radio theology where he was on the radio for a number of years. He was on 99.5, like Smiley and him were really close. Wow. And they gave him the spot on Sunday morning and then COVID happened. And COVID is when a lot of it all like transitioned because bars were closed and you weren't going to do ministry. You couldn't do the things you did. And so that's where, and our kids were getting older too. So you didn't really have time to like go in bars like every week. And, he's always been super passionate about church ministry. So he didn't ever want to fully leave it forever. So he's always still like, Darren's super passionate still about the church and being a part of a church and like being able to help a church. So that's when we started in with Mercy Road where he's been preaching regularly there, even through the time with Pub Theology for a lot of the years. Mm-hmm. So we still had that connection over time. And Mercy Road was, when we stopped being at E91, we kind of had like a break because we were launching this our church.
Yeah.
And then we've been a part of Mercy Road for all these years since then. And it's been a great place for our family that supports the fact that like, we're not there all the time, but we're also doing this other ministry. Mm-hmm. So we started that, we did a bar ministry, and then it's just over the years, it's just evolved. He does a podcast now. He's currently like starting all of these different like leadership development thing called the Rogue Collective, where he's going into businesses. He's doing leadership training, but like with a spiritual like nuance to then like spin off men and women into like small groups. So his whole thing has always been, he's very passionate for more like nomadic church style, like of where you go into the regular spaces and places of people and you meet them there. You meet them with Jesus in that place instead of like making them all come to a place.
Got it.
And so it's been in bars, it's been on the radio, it's been through his podcast, it's been through all that. And all along the way, I'm much more of the support. I'm more comfortable in the space of support of tasks and all that. He would probably like for me to commit to doing a lot more than that, but I get nervous and just say, you know, but God is calling me into new things right now. And I really think I'm in that season, but yeah, so that's kind of what it is. It's kind of a super eclectic mix and mangled ministry now that kind of wherever God has led us, we have gone.
That's awesome. So what is the name of the ministry again?
The ministry is Blackbird Mission Church, which is what we've always operated under. And then he's currently doing his own LLC called the Rogue Collective, which that's where the business stuff, like the businesses can go into. And then Blackbird will still be doing all of the podcast. We do a thing called Worship on the Water in the summer, where it's basically still our like the bar ministries where we have a worship service like out at Wolfie's on the Water and like people come and it's like a huge church service out there. And it's like once a month all the way through all the summer months and the same concept that we always have. So we never want to lose that like the core of who we are, that core ministry of that, of what Pub Theology is.
Yeah. No, and I love that God is opening. I love this nomad style too, because ministry does not have to be in just a church on a Sunday morning. Right. It can be, you know, and God wants us to talk to him every day, all day, right? So it can be, it can happen in so many different places. Yes. Where can we find him? Like, is it just a website or does he have a current show like on the radio or?
No, you could find anything you needed at DarrenEarlyWine.com in regards to that. Like anything for him and for the ministry and the business and all that. It's all like all underneath that website. And that's just really launching. He's just like started that recently. Okay. Yeah. But you know, it's all come out of a super unique call and the nomadic part of just how we've always lived, how our family has always lived. We, you know, our kids have always gone to public school. We've just sort of allowed our community to be the space that we minister in. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of these things that Darren has developed and tried to launch over the years with all of his visionary like abilities is it all comes out of the fact that like we've just like tried to be our real true selves. Like I think when you go through what we went through where we were walking through ministry when we were young and we realized, oh wait, we really aren't, that really isn't our identity. Like we don't really identify with this anymore as we're becoming our own adults, mm-hmm. though we cherish it and though we're thankful for it and we fully feel like it is the foundational roots of our life. Like we're shifting. So mm-hmm. we started shifting early and then like things happened that like literally shifted us out faster than sure. than we thought. But I think the reason Darren's been so nomadic and so ever-changing is because at the heartbeat of our family, it's always been like, we're going to meet you on the ball field mm-hmm. and this is who we are. And we're going to be this way when you see us at a school function. And we're going to mm-hmm. be this way if you're like in our backyard. Like that's been our desire, is just to be like just a really true, authentic self, because we weren't able to be that, or maybe we were up to the point where we weren't. Mm-hmm. Like I don't regret who I was, but then it shifted us. And so then it made me realize I just want everyone to always be able to see that like, this is really me. Mm-hmm. And like, I hope it works for you. And I hope yeah. that God can shine through me being a friend and me being there for your family if they need us. And like, I always kind of joke with Darren and say, sometimes I feel like in this town, like you're like the pastor to all the people that don't have a pastor.
Yeah. Well, and, that's a place for that. Right. That's very needed.
And I feel like the heartbeat of our family, I feel like the heartbeat of my children, seeing mm-hmm. them now be 20 and 18 and even our 14-year-old, like their heartbeat is to be ministry. Mm-hmm. Not really put a name to it, but like our heartbeat is just to be ministry. Like whatever you need to be.
Being approachable too. I think that's a huge thing.
I hope so. I want to be that. That is the big word. That means that touches my heart deeply because I want to be that. I want to be someone
who people are comfortable coming up to. And yes.
I pray so. And I pray that like in the last 10 years, I've become even more of that. Like as you get older kids, you just learn mm-hmm. perspective on all things. And I hope it makes me even more approachable.
Yes. If anybody wants to know anything about the ministry, feel free to leave comments here if you're watching on YouTube, or you can DM us on Instagram too. I'm going to have all of your guys' information on the description box. You can reach out to them or to us to know more about this wonderful ministry. Are you comfortable closing us in prayer?
I would love to.
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Jesus, you are so loving and you are so gracious. And we thank you that you are the author of our story. And we thank you that even when we can't see what's written, you have it written for us. And I thank you that for all of us today, God, that you have a beautiful story written. I pray, God, that if there's anyone listening today that doesn't know you, that you will begin to remind them that you have a beautiful story for them. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for what you're doing, God. And I pray, God, that you will just help us all just to show your love to others and to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.